Yes, joining us on the phone this morning here on our program, Dan Hicks joins us from the Freeze Notice Weather Center. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
So I've got to ask you, what in the world is a derecho, and am I pronouncing that properly?
Well, I think you are pronouncing it correctly. It's actually a Spanish origin word that I guess in the Spanish means straight or straight ahead, that type of thing. But the name has been assigned to a certain phenomenon, a thunderstorm. Certainly not anything that we've never seen before, but it's not a real common event. Typically describes a long-lasting thunderstorm event in which an area of thunderstorms, you know, moves rapidly typically to the east or the east-southeast. And it has to be, you know, certain long-lived, 300-400 miles in duration, several hours in duration, be assigned that name. And typically these types of thunderstorm events are associated with damaging straight line winds. You don't often get strong tornadoes with this type of event. You may get some weak tornadoes, but the most common thing is the strong straight line winds that produce quite a bit of widespread damage. And of course, the event on Monday was an extensive coverage area all the way from starting in southern South Dakota Sunday night and ending up in northern Indiana by late Monday. So it definitely fit the description defined as a derecho.
Dan, are these very predictable? I mean, can you see them coming?
Well, you may not be able to see them coming initially. I mean, initially I can remember seeing the thunderstorms on Monday morning, early Monday morning in southern South Dakota and northern Nebraska as they were moving to the east-southeast, and they were producing some severe weather. Right at that moment in time, you probably would not expect this type of event to unfold like it did. But, you know, as the thunderstorms progressed into Iowa, it became a little bit more clear that they're going to be long-lasting. And at some point in time, they were moving as fast as 50 to 60 miles per hour. So it became a little bit more obvious with time that this is going to be a long-lasting severe weather event. But to try to predict it any number of hours ahead of time is pretty difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see forecasts now and again that we'll talk about over the next few days, the possibility for severe weather, for tornadoes, for lightning, different things like that. But I've never seen that word mentioned in a forecast before.
No, I don't think that's probably something you'd see in a forecast. More than likely, you wouldn't see someone forecast that type of event using that terminology. It's generally kind of assigned to it once it's occurring or after it's occurred. You know, you very often have short-lived severe thunderstorms that might last for an hour or two and affect a part of a state with damaging winds, but these events tend to be a lot longer lasting and a lot more extensive geographically. As I mentioned, this one traveled, I believe, over 700 miles. Something like that is difficult to predict very far in advance. You might indicate a higher risk of severe weather in a certain area, but to predict something that long-lasting and that severe any length ahead of time is going to be a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I read the other day someone kind of described it as the closest thing we could feel in this part of the country to like a hurricane, for example.
Right. You know, we had at least some unofficial reports of close to 100-mile-per-hour winds in Iowa from this event, and there have been instances in the past where winds have been as high as 120 miles per hour from these events. So, you know, when you're talking about those wind speeds, you're talking about, you know, wind speeds that are similar to a weak hurricane or a weak tornado, you know, certainly causing extensive damage. Of course, when you have a tornado, the damage is much more localized, where in this case it was fairly widespread. But I guess the one difference between this and a hurricane, obviously, is you don't have the circular motion like you do with a hurricane. But, you know, the end result, when it's all said and done, you can have damage just as bad as at least a weak hurricane or a weak tornado.
Yeah, nor the rainfall that you'd get out of a hurricane, because it's not welling up all that moisture, but it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of rain associated with this.
Well, the storms were moving fairly quickly, so it did limit the amount of rainfall. I think that in the path where the heaviest rainfall occurred, we saw some half-inch to inch-and-a-quarter type rainfall events. It came very quickly, but it didn't last very long. When those storms were moving, you know, 50 or 60 miles an hour, the area of heaviest rainfall and strongest storms extending north and south about 60 or 70 miles and east and west about 30 miles. So the heaviest rain didn't last a long time in any one location. So you didn't have the huge flooding amounts of rain that you would see if you have, nearly stationary or slow-moving thunderstorms.
Yeah, these aren't the kind of things that we see very often. Like I said, for a lot of us, I've never even heard that term before.
Well, I think it's, it's in order to qualify for that definition, it has to meet these certain criteria, and you don't see those things happening very often. I think that, if you would include the entire Midwest, you probably see one of these maybe once a year, once every 2 years. I distinctly remember a case back in, I think, the mid to late 90s where a similar event occurred actually in a very similar part of Iowa, and I believe it caused considerable damage just like the one did early this week. So fortunately, they're not a frequent occurrence because they can do a lot of damage. A lot of crop damage occurred on Monday, and of course, a lot of tree, power line, and building damage. So we're fortunate they don't happen all that often.
Yeah, we sure did see some of that, too, the video and the pictures. We've heard stories from folks about entire crop fields, cornfields laid over, the grain bins destroyed. We've seen houses that have been damaged and destroyed in some cases, and other buildings and things. There was a lot of damage left behind. Have you been hearing a lot of the stories?
Right. I've millions of acres of crops damaged, and of course, in some cases it won't be evident for a while yet exactly how severe that crop damage is, but I'm certain that dollar-wise you're talking millions and millions of dollars of damage in Iowa alone just from these storms on Monday when you add up the crops and, the buildings, the power lines, and the amount of time it takes to get things fixed up again. But you also have parts of Illinois, Indiana, suffering the same type of damage. So, will it be a $1 billion event? It wouldn't surprise me, given how quickly the dollars add up these days when you start rebuilding things.
Yeah, very true. How exactly is something like this formed, Dan? How do these happen in nature?
Well, I think that, the particular one that happened on Monday, we had a cool front that was moving down from the northern plains into the Midwest. And, of course, south of that front, we had southerly winds bringing up very warm and humid air. And the thunderstorms actually developed on the back side of the cool front. These developed initially in western South Dakota and then started moving to the east-southeast along and right behind that cool front. And it, as it moved southeastward, it just kept feeding on that warm and humid air coming up from the south. The areas that were south and east of those thunderstorms saw temperatures warm into the low to mid-90s on Monday with dew points well up into the 70s, and it was just kind of feeding on that contrast in air mass, but it was generally in the vicinity of that slow-moving cold front is where this activity started to develop and just maintains itself for 12 to 14 hours as it moves southeastward.
Sure. So, but something this size is just completely just not normal.
Well, it's not normal. It's one of those things in nature that you expect it to happen once in a while. It's not completely unforeseen when something like this happens, but it doesn't happen on a very frequent basis. It's kind of like a tornado. I mean, there's going to be a tornado in Iowa just about every summer, but they don't happen every day, fortunately, and it's very difficult to tell, when and where they're going to happen. It's one of those rare weather events, but you kind of have to expect it to happen periodically.
Yeah, well, weren't there some other states, though, that suffered through this particular system, too?
Right. The severe weather really began in southern South Dakota and northeastern Nebraska, and then that the core of the storms moved in right around the Sioux City area and then kind of tracked east-southeastward. So a little bit of northeast Nebraska, a little bit of southeast South Dakota, a wide swath across Iowa. The northern half of Illinois also was affected, and parts of northern Indiana. That was kind of the track where the strongest winds occurred and the most damage. So definitely, a large part of Iowa, parts of Illinois, Indiana, a little bit of Nebraska and South Dakota.
Yeah, I saw a satellite image the other day where you could actually, from the satellite picture, see the path where the corn was laid down.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, the pictures show some of that corn nearly flat on the ground. And, when it's 60 or 70 miles wide swath from north to south, something like that would easily show up on a real sensitive satellite image.
So, Dan, in your professional opinion, is this just another reason why the year 2020 should be just flushed down the toilet altogether?
Well, It seems to be that way. I don't want to give too much of an opinion on that, but it certainly adds to the problems that we've seen. You know, just regarding the weather here in Iowa, of course, we've had some very dry conditions this summer in parts of the state, and that's affected crop conditions. We had, you know, not the ideal planting season in the state either, and you know, we had some nice rains with this storm, but it came at a high cost with those strong winds. So just the weather itself has been testing us in 2020, along with all the other things that are going on.
Yeah, time to move on. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate the professional information here this morning. It's always good to educate ourselves on some things that we just don't see very often.
Well, that's true, and hopefully it'll be a while before we see it again. You know, that, like I said, it may happen, you know, somewhere in the Midwest once a year, but fortunately in any one spot, it doesn't happen all that frequently.
Well, I think most folks will agree with you on that. Let's not do that again anytime soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jim.
You betcha. That's Dan Hicks from the Freeze Notice Weather Center here this morning.